Liebe Kunden, wir öffnen Kasse 2 für Sie.
Okay. So, hi, welcome everybody. My name is Anja. Some might know me also as Njatschka. And today I will give you a short presentation about our plastic problem and how to solve it. I put this in brackets, so later on we will see why. Okay, first of all, I go quickly through our agenda. First of all, I will give you a quick introduction about plastics in general, polymers, what are we talking about. Then I will focus on the three recycling methods, which are mechanical recycling, solvent-based recycling, and chemical recycling. And for the end, I will show you a little what you can do to improve the plastic problem and to make our environment a little bit better. Okay, so first of all, what are polymers? Polymers are large molecules, and these molecules are bonded by chemical bonding with different building blocks. And here on the right, you can see the different different plastics that exist in nature, and also with their monomers. So there are different, for example, the easiest one is PE, and these are CH3 connections. And then they get a little bit more complex. For example, PS, we have here like a huge chemical structure, and they are all more complex. So for example, PE are used for plastics of packaging, for example, so for cleaning stuff and stuff like that. Then we have PVC. PVC is known for like flooring, so the flooring is made of PVC. Then we have a very popular polymer, which is called polypropylene, PP. Here you can see some products made of PP. PS is widely used for like yogurt cups or coffee cups, also like single-use forks and knives, stuff like that. And then we have PA, which is mostly the nylon. So you have your nylon string, that's polyamide. And of course, our water bottles, PET. So what is the problem? Well, the problem is plastic is so cheap, hence it's not seen as a valuable product. So you use the plastic and then you throw it away because it is so cheap, and then we have problems like this. So we have pollutions inside the sea, inside our coastlines. You can also see some animals stealing or struggling with the polymer waste. And only 20% from the plastic waste enter into a circular economy. So here I brought you the way of a plastic product. First of all, it's produced, then it's converted, then we have the consumption of the plastic, and then we have the overall plastic products in use. Numbers are in megatons, and this is the global plastic flow from plastic production to plastic waste. 2018, it's a bit like 5 years ago, so the numbers are even higher, but roundabout it's that. So we have a total generated plastic waste of 250 megatons. And this gets separated into the collected plastic waste and the part which is unknown. So the unknown part of the plastic waste lands into improper disposal or leakage. So leakage basically means what you have seen before, so the plastic on the coast, in the seas, in our environment. And improper disposal is, well, you don't really know what happens exactly with the plastic. So there are like landfills, but it's not very regulated. The contrast is the managed landfill. So we have here around about 30%. We have, energy recovery. So energy recovery is you burn it, basically, that's what it means. So at least you get the energy out of it, but it's not the best way because you have chemicals inside and the pollution over the air is also very, not so good. And yeah, we have then our recycling part. So actually, the recycled plastics are just 20%. And yeah. So what happens with the recycled plastic? There are currently three ways how to deal with these wastes. Most of it goes into mechanical recycling, so 95%. And then we have solvent-based recycling is 4% and chemical recycling 1%. I will later explain what this means and what you do by mechanical recycling plastic waste. The difference between mechanical and solvent-based recycling and or basically between the first two and chemical recycling is that you get the recycled plastics out of the mechanical and the solvent-based recycling method. And from the chemical recycling, you get the monomers. If you remember in the first slide, I told you that the polymers are made out of monomers. So there you get the monomer, just not in a chain, but itself. And other byproducts like oil, solids, and gas. And the process complexity increases with these methods, but you will see later why. Okay, so let's focus on the mechanical recycling first. Here you can see value chain or the way plastic goes. So we have in gray the usual way with the usual way for plastic. So we have a raw material, which is mostly oil and gas. Then we have the virgin polymer production, virgin because the plastic is built out of these oils and gases. Then there's the polymer conversion, the sale of the plastic products, and we have the end user, which is the consumer. And if our plastic goes into a circular loop, so into our recycling way, then first of all, we have like a pre-treatment, which consists of these steps. So we have a collection. So first of all, someone needs to collect your waste from your home. Then at the recycling station, the plastic gets sorted, so into these different polymers that I explained earlier. Then the plastic is grinded, washed, and then we have the flake sorting. So this happens, this could happen in different colors. And here's sorting itself. There are different techniques and different methods. The most important one is via IR, so infrared radiation. And if the plastic goes through this recycling sorting machine, there's infrared light, and it detects the monomers, and then this could be separated into the different polymers. And after you have the flake sorting, this machine is called an extruder. It's basically, here's a screw, and inside the screw, it gets, there is heat, and then the polymer melts. And so we have here the remelting. Okay, and after this step, you have, again, your conversion into your desired shape of the polymer, the production and sale, and again, the end user. And if the used plastic is mechanically recycled, there are two ways how to do it. So in the collected polymer, there are some impurities which needs to be filtered out. So we have a filtration at the end of our extruder, and then the polymer gets granulated, and from these little granulates, you get the recycled polypropylene, for example. Or what you also can do, because the used plastic waste has not so much good properties as the virgin material. So you need additives put into the granulates to get the better properties out of the recycled material. Because the one reason why not every plastic is recycled is that the properties are not as good as the virgin material. So the plastic producers they're more likely to buy virgin polymer instead of recycled polymer, which needs to be put in additives, and this is usually more expensive. And I also brought you some examples for the mechanical recycling. So, for example, this is polystyrol, and this comes from yogurt cups. And if this gets mechanically recycled, here you can see the granules. I can also through if you want. And another example of mechanical recycling are the PET flakes. So these are flakes from water bottles, for example. You have here the different colors, and the granules look like that. Okay, so now our plastic is mechanically recycled, but there are still some issues that need to be there are some issues. So the problem with mechanical recycled plastic is that there is still some odor in it, and also the color. So if you see the granules, it's not it's a bit grayish. Here you can also see it has the color pigments inside. So what you do is solvent-based recycling. Solvent-based recycling usually means that you take the polymer that is used, and you dissolute the target polymer material into a solvent. The solvent can be, for example, acetone, there are wild lists of solvents that you can use, always depending which polymer you have. And the original polymer chain of the polymer will not be affected. So as I told you in a slide before, you have still your polymer itself and not the monomer. Okay, so how does it work? First of all, you have your granulated plastic waste. There's like a little scissor. You have here the solvent, and you dissolute your plastic into the solvent. You have filtration steps where the impurities are separated. And then in the precipitation, the new polymer builds. There you have filtration steps, and after that, you get your purified target polymer. And what is so special about this process is that you can reuse the solvent. So the solvent can go at the first step, and you can reuse the solvent again. Another way is the chemical recycling. So you see, the mechanical recycling is basically you heat it up, you filter it, and then it's done. The solvent-based recycling needs the solvent, so it's a bit more complex, a bit more expensive, stuff like that. And now the most sophisticated way is the chemical recycling. So again, we start with our plastic waste. And then you have depolymerization, pyrolysis, gasification. These terms basically mean that you heat it up very, very high, so a very high temperature. And then you have we have the intermediates. So through this heat and the high temperatures, the chemical buildings, the chemical bonds break, and then you have your monomer. And other stuff, so for example, an ether, which is kind of benzene or a syngas. And then at the end, you have our feedstock, which can be, so the monomers can be repolymerized to polymers, or with the syngas, you can get energy out of it. And I see that I also have example for solvent-based recycling. So this is very good example because you can see here the colors inside the used plastic and the output. So this is polypropylene. It's very white, so almost transparent. So you can see here a big difference. And that's one reason why solvent-based recycling is more and more common or gets more and more popular because you get this very good quality out of it. Okay, so what you can do. I think you all know the big reduce, reuse, recycle. So it's the best way to just reduce your plastic consumption and don't use plastic at all. So for example, there's yogurt in glass, for example. So buy these. This is you can bring it back to the store and then it gets washed and used again. You can reuse the stuff. If it gets broken, don't just throw it away and buy new stuff, but try to replace it or try to buy another product. Or you can also recycle it. So one thing I want to bring to you as a little take-home message is avoid single-use plastics. So basically the coffee cup. If I am traveling, I always take my coffee to go cup, and it's always better to just than just go to the bakery and buy a coffee in this mug. So yeah, cute designs, and I think every company has their own coffee to go cup, so it's very easy to just do this. Avoid black plastic. So why this? I explained to you that through the IR radiation, the plastic gets separated or sorted, but if the radiation is or if the radiation doesn't if the radiation is absorbed, that was the word. So if the radiation is absorbed, it can't be traveled back, so the sender doesn't know which plastic type it is. So it's better to buy like white plastic or blue plastic is fine, but black plastic is not so good. And last but not least, avoid mixed plastic. So there are plastics that consist of different layers. They have all a different reason why they are here. So for example, we have the outer layer, it's a strong printable surface, then we have a tie layer, a barrier layer, another tie layer, stuff like that. But if you think of the sorting step, the sorter, it's very complicated to separate this because it's made of so many plastics, so how can you recycle it? And one way is that you can have a look. I know it's not always common to go into the supermarket and search for these little signs on the packaging. It's very good because this means that this packaging is built just out of the different materials. So for example, PET or PP. And since I'm most of the time in the kitchen, I had a look on the packaging there, and I saw a little recycling mark for 5 PP. I also highlighted that for you. So that's basically what this means. So don't use multi-layer foils, please. Okay, so here I have some literature that I used, and I say thanks for your interest, and if you have questions, you can ask them now.
Yeah, thanks for the presentation. In the beginning, you mentioned these different kinds of plastic, like PET, PVC, and so on. What are the characteristics of these kinds of plastics in terms of recycling? So is it, for example, easier to recycle PET than PVC, mm-hmm. or can they all be recycled equally, so to speak?
Yes, 1 second. So it depends also on the chemical structure. So for example, you have here like the PE. It's very easy to recycle because you just need to break the bonds between the C and the CH3. And so this is a very easy monomer, but in terms of recycling, you can't really say what is better. One point that really affects the recycling is, for example, the melting temperature. And because if the melting temperature is really high for one polymer, then it's it needs more energy. So it's very unpractical. And so it's for the melting temperature, it's easier to recycle, for example, polystyrol. So polystyrol has melting temperature around 150. So it's very easy to melt it to this temperature and filter it and recycle it.
Okay. Hi, thank you for the presentation. I have a question with the letter science. Which signs are good signs and which signs are not so,
so
good?
So every sign is good because the sign basically just means that this product is made out of one single polymer. And if a product is made out of one single polymer, the sorting machine can sort them out. And then you have a, like say, a bag full of polypropylene and you know, okay, this is polypropylene. I can use this for this and this and this product.
Okay, so look out for the little sign. And
exactly, and this just means that it's different polymers. You can't say, well, you can't really say, depending on the strike science, okay, PVC is better than PP. It just depends on your product, what you want to package, basically.
Okay, yeah. Thank you.
Hi, thank you. I have a question regarding the black plastic.
Yeah.
Because I know there's some cosmetic store chain which explicitly uses black plastic for their packaging, but they claim that it's all recycled. And from what I've learned now, it seems to be only mechanically recycled, but not mixed with a solvent. So that it's basically as black as the mechanically recycled product you presented in one of your slides. Is that a good black plastic or also a bad plastic?
Okay, I see the point here. So if they say that they recycle the plastic, it is not meant that it's further recyclable. So they use the recycled plastic, they put color pigments in it, which is smart because recycled plastic has always like a grayish color, and if you could put black plastic in it, black pigments in it, nobody will notice that it's recycled. But after that, in the sorting system, it can't be recycled anymore. So if they use recycled plastic and don't put this color pigments in, it would be even better because after that, it can't be recycled anymore.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think it's a really interesting topic. So feel free to ask questions.
Yeah, I have a question regarding the recycling and recycling again. It's like, my question is about, does some kinds of plastic get worse and worse if it's recycled again and again? So
yeah, it's basically for all plastics because you have the thermal issue inside. So if it's always heated up and cooled down, and also the shaping needs to be at a certain temperature. So you can't always take your polymer and recycle it and recycle it and recycle it. I think there are, depending on which polymer you have, there are like recycling rates or how often you can recycle the plastic, and it lies between 3 and 10 times, I think, or 3 and 8 times. But one time the properties are not just good, and then you need to throw it away.
Okay, thank you. And another question is, why is making new plastic so cheap?
Because you just you need oil, and then from the oil you or another way, the virgin plastic production is just there. So many companies deal with the production of virgin plastic, so there are so many production sites of virgin plastic. So this is cheaper than recycled or recycling factories building up.
Okay, thank you.
Because it's just we have always done it. There are the so all the structures are for virgin for the production of virgin material and not for recycling. Next to you.
Hi. Is there possibilities to mark black plastic with like some kind of marker so it can be detected by this race?
Yeah, there are like I think big automotive companies already do it. I don't know if it's exactly for black plastic, but for plastic in general. Like for example, automotive companies say, okay, we have our layer or not just PP, but we need to add things to get the properties we want for our car. But we put these markers in so that the sorting machine knows somehow, or there are sorting machines that respond to these markers, and they say, oh, okay, we have this kind of material. I will sort it out, and then the automotive company, for example, can take these back because they have the marker inside and recycle them. Itself, yeah. So that's possible.
Thank you. You mentioned the practice of energy reclamation,
yeah,
and the issue of pollutants being put in the air by this practice.
Yeah.
Do you know, I hope this isn't too off topic, if there are any efforts to implement filtration for this, or are the pollutants in such a way that they don't lend themselves to be filtered?
Well, there are filtration systems for this pollution inside the air. It's not the fact that it doesn't happen or that it doesn't exist, but you always need to think outside Germany or outside the world. So not every country has their filtration system, their regulations how polluted the air has to be after they make energy recover out of plastic, so basically burn it. So yeah, if that answers your question. Okay.